you're a guest with us, you're happy to introduce myself. My name is Dan. I'm honored to serve as pastor here, and my family and I are vacationing. We're in the middle of it. We do a camping vacation that we just finished, got some rest, relaxation, and now we're doing this thing called staycation. You ever heard of that? This is where you fool yourself that you can stay home and actually have a vacation. And each day you realize, oh, I lied to myself. There's so much to do to keep my mind busy. But we had a great time together away camping. So we recognize that we left our church family in good hands with Pastor Jonathan teaching and training in the scriptures on disciple making. And we did so because we believe that to be a church on mission means to be a church who is reproducing disciples and to be a church who's a multiplying church. And what that means is not only are we at work going and making disciples, but we are sending and supporting other people who are making disciples outside of our neighborhoods. We call those missionaries. So as a multiplying church, we will sign up to support and send people who will go all over the world, and in some cases, like our guests today, will just go to a college campus nearby. Joe and Nicole Cedillo, does that sound right? Not bad Spanish, right? I mean, 6 years, I can say two words in Spanish, and one of them is Cedillo, and also quesadilla. That's where I got that. So they're headed to Buffalo State University to make disciples on the campus of Buffalo State University. And if you haven't prayed for a missionary before, keep in mind they're headed to Buffalo. So pray for them. We love you guys. We don't know you well, but we love you already. It's an honor to have you and support you and to help send you to Buffalo. Missionaries like the Cedillos rely on the local church to support them financially, to support them prayerfully. It's our joy to do that with just under 40 missionaries here as a sending church family, a multiplying church family. So would you welcome Joe Cedillo, Chi Alpha missionary to Buffalo State University. Would you welcome this morning?
Thank you, Pastor. It's an honor to be here. I want to say that if this is your first time here, that you're in good hands here. If this is not your first time, I want you to say thank you and just honor you. Every time I mention that I'm heading to this church, anyone that knows this church says, you are in good hands. This is a great church and it has phenomenal leadership. Everyone's saying the same things, which means it must be true. It's not just one person. So, yeah, right? So I just wanna honor Pastor Dan and everyone who's a part of these Discover these teams and involved in what's going on here at this church. I just wanna just say thank you for all that you're doing. My name is Joe Cedillo. This is my wife, Nicole. We have a 4-month daughter. Her name is Quinn. And we're from South Texas. We are not Texan, or we are not New Yorkers. I've never lived in New York. Neither has my wife. She went to a camp here as a child. So, but when the Lord calls, you answer. And so we spent several years in ministry. We got saved in the university. My wife was completely unchurched. I grew up in a Catholic background, but didn't really truly have a relationship with Jesus until I came to college. And so we grew in knowledge and relationship with the Lord, and he called us into full-time ministry. We served at the university that we got our degrees at for several years, and then the Lord began speaking to us about Buffalo, New York, of all places. And so we learned long ago that the best thing that you can do is be obedient to the Father. And so we said yes, and we're ready to move joyfully. This morning, I don't want to just share about our call, but I also want to bring a word that the Lord's given me that I believe will really challenge you and encourage you today. It's our passion to love those that God loves without exception and to see that each person becomes who they were made to be. If I boil down my message, this is what I want you guys to hear, and you'll see that on your notes. It's that as Christ's ambassadors, and that's us, We are to acknowledge that there are no little people and no little places when we see as God sees. And we need to be ready to activate kingdom principles wherever we are to see God's glory in all people and all places. I know that's a loaded little sentence there, but we're going to unpack that and so explain a little bit about each of those areas. So if you'll just follow along with me, we'll get there, okay? So we're going to start with our scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. All right. And it says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So there's a lot going on here. First of all, if you profess to be a Christian, he's giving you a title. And he's calling you an ambassador. He's letting you know that. How many of you knew that you were ambassadors today? Maybe you've never been called an ambassador. So we're going to talk about a little bit what that is. But he gives us a title and a charge to go make disciples. So we're going to start out with the title. So what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who's sent by one country to represent and promote the affairs of this country in a foreign land. You're a representative of your home country in a foreign land. So that should sound somewhat familiar to us, hopefully, because that's us. We are ambassadors in a foreign land. We are not children of this world, even though we were born into it. We were made to be with him in heaven, and scripture says we are citizens of heaven when we become followers of Christ. That means that he's offered us a place and prepares a place for us in heaven already in anticipation. He says, here's your citizenship. You are a part of the mighty kingdom of God. Here you are. You are a citizen of heaven. But there's no dual citizenship here, right? You are a citizen of heaven, which means you give up the things of this world that cling to us. And we leave behind the ways of the world when we choose Christ. That makes us foreigners in this land. He uses a lot of in scripture that we're foreigners in this land. We're in the world, but not of it. And so when we become ambassadors here on this earth, we are promoting God. We're promoting and representing the great high king. That's what an ambassador does, and that's how we operate in this way. And you're thinking, okay, so you're asking me to share about Jesus and be a light to those around you, around me. And for some of you, you're like, well, yeah, that's what a Christian does. And others say, well, that's what Pastor Dan does or somebody else does. And we're going to just come and be a part and just let them do their thing and just hurrah, cheer them on. But that's not what we've been called to do. Every single one of us has been called to make disciples. The truth is, an ambassador is not just a pew sitter along for the ride, but an active participant in God's work to not just do good things, but God-led things. As an ambassador, you actively seek to promote and bring gospel transformation in every heart, home, and neighborhood. That's pretty good. I got that right off the website. So you know, maybe that sounds familiar. And I said, wow, that is good. That's what an ambassador does. This is a call for everyone. After all, we could say that we know God because somebody cared enough to share with us, right? Somebody challenged us with the good news, counted us worthy to hear the gospel and come to faith. And like it says in Corinthians, it says, Jesus who knew no sin became sin so that we could become righteous. He lived this perfect sinless life. When he went and died on the cross, he became the atonement, the sacrifice for our selfishness. He paid the cost because he saw the value in each one of us. When you pay something, you are recognizing the value. And he died for each and every one of us, which means that he sees value in each and every one of us. And so when somebody shared the gospel with you, they said you have value and you are a child of God that ought to hear the gospel and walk in relationship with the greatest person the only God on this earth. And so when we look around now as Christians, we ought to look and see every single person with that same value. Jesus died for your neighbor. Jesus died for the person bagging your groceries. Jesus died for your boss. So they may not look like precious and valuable children at the moment, but we need to see past who they are in the present and believe for who they could be in the future. It's like seeing them as potential royalty. And if you're gonna help someone to grow to be a mighty king or a prince, you hold that crown above their head and you allow them to grow into it. Look who you could be. Let me help you in love to grow in relationship with Jesus. So we look at others with that same potential, the potential to be awoken from this dormant state to be a light in the world. And that takes seeing people with the eyes of Christ. There's no little people in the kingdom of God. There's no big people and little people. There's only people walking with Jesus and not walking with Jesus. And Jesus cares equally about each and every one of us. Just like there's no little people, there's no little places. We need to love people in the place God has us and be committed to love God in that place. We are called to surrender to him, and as the Lord keeps him at the focal point of what he wants for as we keep the Lord at the focal point, then we need to be ready to serve him in the place that he has us. So we can ask, how can we be an ambassador in the place God has us? In our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our grocery store. A famous author, G.K. Chesterton, talks about committing to love a place even when it doesn't seem like it has much to offer, to see that it becomes better than it ever was. He refers to this place as Pimlico. G.K. Chesterton has since passed, and his language is a little bit older, so we're gonna modify it a little bit here and help it to be a little bit more understandable. I'm actually gonna replace that place, Pimlico, this sad place that he describes as Buffalo. So you're thinking like, why are you saying that? Aren't you going there? You think it's an awful place? Well, I'll tell you what people from Texas say all the time, and maybe you share those same feelings. Don't you know it snows there? Have you ever lived there? I don't understand, why are you taking your family there? The Buffalo Bills are there. It's not Texas, you're leaving the country. This is like foreign missions. What are you doing? It's part of the Rust Belt. The economy's not great. It's seen its better days. Those days are gone. And maybe this is true, and I'm hitting all these cons because I want us to see this picture clearly. So G.K. Chesterton says about this hopeless case of a city, and I'll read this this passage. He says, "Let us suppose we are confronted with a desperate thing, say Buffalo. It's not enough for a man to disapprove of Buffalo. In that case, he will merely cut his throat or move to New York City. He would leave it abandoned and still in poor condition. Nor certainly is it enough for a man to approve of Buffalo. For then it will just remain sad Buffalo, which would be awful. We all know that Buffalo could improve. The only way out of it seems to be for somebody to love Buffalo, to love it with a transcendental tie and without any earthly reason. If there arose a man who loved Buffalo, then Buffalo would rise into ivory towers and golden pinnacles. If men love Buffalo as mothers love children, arbitrarily, just because it's theirs, Buffalo in a year or two might be fairer than Florence. Some readers would say this is a mere fantasy, and I answer that this is the actual history of mankind. This, as a fact, is how cities did grow great. Go back to the darkest roots of civilization, and you will find people first paid honor to a spot and afterwards gained glory for it. Men did not love Rome because she was great. She was great because they loved her." Nicole and I have a passion to see Buffalo better than it is now. We're committing ourselves and our lives to love this place simply because God loves Buffalo. We believe God wants to see this city coming into greater life, to see dry, dead bones. There may be dry, dead bones there, but in the hands of God, he can create something even greater. He can see life come back to the city, bringing health where there was a desert of hopelessness. God is mighty, and he can do the impossible. To dream this dream, or to see this dream come to fruition, means that somebody needs to go and represent God and offer this new life in Christ. As the scripture says, we are to make an appeal, allow Christ to make his appeal through us. To believe that strategically, we believe the answer is in the universities, in the next generation, the youth, where there is no outreach to these young adults. We believe that we want them to come into relationship with Jesus Christ and to come into the local church and become lifelong followers of Jesus. So I'd like to share a story about a woman named Leslie. Leslie attended Buffalo State College. She came from an unchurched background, never went to church, but knew that there was something in there that was missing within her life. She came and attended Buffalo State College. It has a very strong party culture, drinking in excess and doing drugs. In fact, when we were there one time, the flag was at half mast because another person had overdosed and found that they didn't have a next day to wake up to. So Leslie joined in because that's what everybody else does, and she wanted friends, right? You don't want to be in this alone. And so she would go to the bars, which are just right off of Buffalo State's university, and then somehow make her way back into her dorm. But she didn't find any fulfillment in that. What she didn't know was that her roommate, who was sleeping right next to her as she was sharing this dorm, was a Christian, but she never shared anything. She didn't tell her about the thing that Leslie was so desperately looking for. She was lonely because she was without other Christian community, but so she just kept her voice quiet. But just like Leslie, she wanted friends too. So she eventually started going with Leslie to these bars. At first she wouldn't drink, but then she just joined right in because that's what her friends were doing. That girl, that quiet Christian, is not walking with Jesus to this day. Leslie, after college, was eventually introduced to Jesus, discovered a calling that God had on her life, and now she's a missionary in Colombia. If you were to ask her about her college years, she would speak about it with tears in her eyes and years of regret and wishing that somebody had shared with her about Jesus. There are 10,000 students at Buffalo State College, all with a unique story and without someone to share the gospel with them. And this is the story all across this state. You know, there's over a million college students here, and we are a part of an organization called Chi Alpha. It's the national movement and outreach of the Assemblies of God to secular universities, and we will be the second Chi Alpha in the whole state of New York. We want to reach the Leslies with the gospel that have never heard it. We want to provide a home and a community and empower them, the quiet Christians, to be a light on their campus. We believe that every person on that campus should have an opportunity to hear an accurate representation of the gospel. That's going to mean that we're active, present, and involved on the campus to create ample opportunities to interact with these various groups, going to the football games or the hockey games, as well as the, math club, which is a thing that my wife's a math major, so she can attest that that can be a really hopping place. I don't talk about numbers or whatever they do. That's not me. We aren't raising up four-year followers with an experience, but lifelong lovers of God who take action as they join churches, build godly homes, godly families, and reach neighbors and coworkers just like they learned to do in college, to see transformation wherever the Lord leads them. We're activating these kingdom principles that God placed in them when he made them. We want to commit to love these university students in Buffalo because God does, and if not us, then who? Practically, there's a simple strategy we'll follow, and this is something that we've found works in the university, but it's not a university principle, some hip thing that's come along. This is straight from scripture. Biblically, we see God as our good shepherd, and he refers to us as sheep. So like Christ, we will find, we will feed, and we will fight for the lambs of God. So that first step is to find. It's in our Father's heart, in God's heart, that none should perish and all come to repentance. He desires that all people should be saved and come to the knowledge and truth of the gospel. If this is his heart, then I want to do everything I can that people would have the opportunity to join the family of God. All of heaven rejoices when one person is saved. And it's exciting that we have an opportunity to partner with God and put a smile on his face, to meet people and share about Jesus. Not because this is a duty, but because I love God and out of my love for him, I'm ready and willing to see that overflow out of me, the good news. So we'll go to those school events and the games. We'll be on campus to introduce ourselves to strangers, help freshmen move into their dorms. Just be a friend. So the second is to feed. And a good shepherd, we know, tends to his flock. He takes us to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. He desires to bring restoration down to our very souls. We want every new member of the flock to taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to help them to know what it means to walk with God, how they can have a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and what it looks like to have a good devotional life, how to read the Bible. We're encouraging them in the good times and the bad, pointing them every time to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We do this all through community, through small groups of men and women who learn to walk alongside one another, bearing one another's burdens, sharpening one another, rejoicing together, weeping together, and just living life together. Lastly, we'll fight for the flock. We know that walking with Jesus isn't easy. We're tempted to stray. There are those who want to see us slip back into old habits, and there are also the times that we aren't seeing things clearly, and we think that maybe life with Christ isn't so great. But what we want to do is to remind them of the truth of the gospel. Jesus has this story where he's showing the love of God in an analogy, saying that he loves us so much that he'd leave the 99 sheep in the flock to go after the one that would wander away. We must be ready to do the same. We can encourage fellow believers in the faith. We can have hard conversations because we desire that they continue in relationship with God all the days of their life. And that if we want them to do that, we need to care more about the eternal future than their feelings in the moment. And that means speaking the truth in love. Both sides, right? We must speak the truth in love. We pray with them and for them in faith because our prayers matter, and we call others to do the same when others make mistakes. We hold no grudges against them. We forgive because we've been called to extend grace upon grace, just as Jesus did for us. So I'm going to ask Nicole to share her testimony. She was found, fed, and fought for right in our university. And I'd love just for you to hear a personal experience of what that looked like.
So, so I grew up in a military family, and so that means that home is a very loose term for me. I don't, you know, people say, where are you from? And I don't really know how to answer that question. A little bit of everywhere. But that also meant that growing up, life was pretty unstable. Every year and a half to 2 years, we were in a different house. And so we had to start all over again, make new friends again. And this wasn't just a move across town, but like we'd move to Japan and, you know, things like that. And so that was going on. But also, my home was not a place where I really wanted to be. And so it was just an abusive environment. It wasn't very healthy, and so I just life was unstable growing up. And so by the time I got to my high school years, I had spent all this time just being like, it's okay, pushing it all down. And by my senior year of high school, I kind of imploded from all of that. And I began to struggle with depression and anxiety to the extent that I was actually hospitalized for it. I spent 3 years in and out of a psychiatric hospital just with no hope for life. I felt like I had just everything had fallen apart. My family had fallen apart, and so what hope really was there? And there was this nurse in this hospital, and she looked at me one day and she said, "There's more to life for you than this. This is not your future." And so she helped me to figure out some different situations, and I wound up moving down to Texas to move in with my grandmother down there, who she really knew nothing that was going on in my life, so that was kind of crazy. But she welcomed me into her home, and she told me, "You either need to get a job or go to school." And so I was like, well, school sounds fun, so let's do that. And so I started going to the community college nearby, and she would drive me back and forth to school. And I saw this sign for this church, and I was like, I need to go there. And so I asked her to drop me off one Saturday night to their Saturday night service. And I went in, and I experienced the presence of God. And I said, this is where I need to be. This is what I'm looking for. And so for a couple months, I started attending this church. I got to know some people, and I got to know this one girl named Julie. And Julie, actually, she got to know me because she really fought for me. She fought to be my friend. I really wasn't open to talking to anyone or sharing about my life. And in fact, I didn't share with her any of those things that I had struggled with. My experience had been if I shared, then people would say, you're a little too much for us. And I wouldn't have friends anymore. And so I just kept it all to myself. And I didn't share. And I remember one night in particular, we were all hanging out, and I got just overwhelmed, frustrated with something, and I just was like, I'm just going to go home. And I just walked out and left. And I remember her coming out into the parking lot behind me, and she just stopped me, and she said, "Nicole, what is going on? What you know, what's happening?" And so I took a deep breath, and I said, "Okay, I'm about to lose my only friend that I have in this state, but I'm going to tell her." And so I told her everything. I told her things I hadn't told anyone before about my past, about my family, and I totally expected her to just say, "Wow, that's too much." But instead, what she did was she took me and she wrapped me in her arms. She gave me a big hug, and she said, "Nicole, I love you." And it was in that moment that I realized Jesus loves me. Jesus wants me. He wants my whole life. He doesn't want this pretty picture, this perfect package. You know, he wants the mess. He wants everything. And so in the middle of this parking lot, I gave my life to Jesus, and I said, "Jesus, you're worth following. If you love me and who I am and the mess that I am, you are worth following." And so she said, "You know, Nicole, I think you need to go back to school full-time at the university, and I think you need to get involved in something called Chi Alpha." And so I did. I went and I got involved in Chi Alpha at Sam Houston State University in Texas. And I had incredible friends there. And I had a woman named Faith who, for the past almost decade of my life, has really taught me what it means to be a woman of God. She taught me how to forgive. She helped me to forgive my dad with things that had happened there and start a relationship back with him again. And she just helped me walk through so much. And so when it came time to graduate, I was thinking, okay, I want to go, you know, like he said, I was a math major, a big nerd. And so I was like, I'm going to go to graduate school. I'm going to get my doctorate. I'm going to be a professor. This was my big dream, which is awesome, an incredible dream. But as I'm applying, I was at a conference to basically get into graduate school, and I got a phone call from a friend back in Maryland. That's where I went to high school, and she had told me another one of our friends had committed suicide. And I flew back home. I went to her funeral, and while I was there, I just was asking the Lord, why did this happen? Why did you save me and not her? And I'm talking to her sister, and her sister said, I can't believe that there's a God if this happened. Like, there's no, you know, like, I don't believe in God. I don't want that anymore. And just brokenhearted, I'm on the airplane, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And he said, you can chase that dream and you'll have a good life and you'll walk with me and you, it would be good. Or you could lay that down and you could give your life to seeing young girls never have to walk through this again. And so that's what I did. I said, okay. And I did an internship and I came on staff as a campus pastor. And I've spent the last 8 years of my life teaching girls that they have hope in Jesus. And that's what we hope to do at Buffalo State College, is continue to do that. Every girl or young man that comes into our path, we want to say, here is Jesus and he is the hope for your life. So.
It's a powerful story, and I have a good wife, and the Lord's done amazing things in her and through her, and she's been challenged by the Lord and by her dear friends, and she's been obedient to say yes every time. And that's what I wanted you to see, was that she was found, she was taught how to walk with Jesus, and she was fought for in the hard times, that she had someone to walk through life with her. Buffalo is the place that the Lord's called us to love. We're believing that we can raise a mighty army from these college students that would make impacts all across New York. But now the question is, where does the Lord have you? Right here in this town. And who is it that the Lord has called you to love? To be an ambassador of Christ. To offer them a chance to be reconciled to Christ. And see that they would be all that they are called to be. As I close, I first want to start and say, if you're not currently walking with Jesus, like I said, you're in good hands here. And if you would like to, I want to offer you a chance to know God. There are those cards that say hi on them, and there's a place where you can fill out some information and look to know more. This isn't just a church that wants you to just say, all right, you're walking with Jesus, good luck. They want to meet you, they want to know you, and help you walk in relationship with Jesus. So please fill out those cards. The other thing is, for those of you that are already walking with Jesus, I want to challenge you with two things. Where is the low or forgotten place or person that you pass by without a second thought that you could be reaching out to? Where you could say, if not you, then who? And then I want to also ask you, how can you find, feed, and fight for those people or those places? This is your privilege and duty to partner with God to see that they have a chance to be reconciled to Christ and to come into perfect relationship with him. It's your privilege and honor to serve God, to overflow out of your heart, to love those who haven't had the chance to know Jesus Christ. So I just want to pray, and as I'm praying, hopefully you'll be thinking of that. Where are the low or forgotten places, and how can I find, feed, and fight for them? Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the privilege to walk alongside you, God. You love us so much. You have brought real transformation into our lives, greater than we could ever imagine. Lord, you are good. You are worthy of all of our praise. And because you are so good, we can't help but share. Help us just to have our eyes be open to the lower forgotten places. Help us to believe and dream for greater things in the lives of those around us. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we're trusting that this week we're going to see people and our environments in a different light. We'll see them the way you see them. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. A couple things before we stand and sing together. Number one, if you have a card in front of you and you are unfamiliar with who Jesus is, not quite sure about where you're at in your own faith, as Joe said, we want to invite you to fill that card out and mark down that you would like to put your trust in Jesus. And we want to help you take another step in learning how to do that, what that looks like. We're going to take on this coming season, year, and so on, the privilege of sending and supporting the Cedillos. Both Joe and Nicole will be headed to live in Buffalo, and we want to support that and send them. So we want to invite you to be a part of supporting them. Two things you can do. Number one, you can support them personally. They'll be out at the welcome wall, right, when we finish the service. And you can support them personally, but also you can contribute to our missions giving fund, and by doing so, help us support them as a church on a regular basis. A few ways you can give. You can do that online. You can do that every week in our offering, as an offering basket goes by each week. But today, we want to send them away with a special offering. So we'll have some green buckets up here for you at the end of the service. If you want to leave them an offering, you can make a check out to North Central Church, indicate that it's for missionaries or Joe or however you remember today that you want to indicate to give it to them. Also, you can get online today and make a offering to the missions fund instead of the general fund. You can click on that online category and you can find missions, and when you give to missions today, we're going to make an offering to the Cedillos to help help them with their expenses, help get them rolling, and keep them rolling. Okay, they're already rolling, but we're going to help keep them rolling in the right direction. So would you do me a favor, would you stand with me? We're going to sing together, and then when we're done, we're going to pray and send them to their next destination, and pray that God continues to lift and send them. Father, we approach you.